Go ahead, introduce us.
Hey, everybody. How are you? Thanks for checking in on the Comedy and Sports Attack. My name is Michael Cucarini. I am your host. And with me is all things enlightenradio.org, Mr. John Case, the original dusty-footed philosopher and grand poobah of producing these damn shows. One way or another, I am coming to you from my cell phone, oddly enough, which is the first time we've done this. So that would explain the fact that, well, not that you could see my giant head anyway, but John and I could actually see each other, and now we can't because the quality internet provided to my wife and I through the wonderful company called Buffering. I mean, Frontier. So there you go. All right. That's what I meant to call them. So thanks for tuning in. Today we're going to cover some, as we do, talk about some local sports activity. At the professional level, in the as the kids call it, the DMV. Once again, the Washington Commanders have proven that they do not have a professional sports franchise in Washington at a professional football level. The team that they played against this previous date, let's see, today's the 10th. I guess they would have played last Thursday night. They got their ass handed to them by a team that was 0-4. To date, that team had not won a game. They have this rising star wide receiver that Washington could not cover. And no matter what they did, he was open all the fucking time. You can't go into it. And I think Magic Johnson, one of the co-owners of the now Washington Commanders, said it best when he said there was no spark. No, there was no spark. There was going through the motions. These guys played a week before that. I don't think we covered this game. One hell of a game. It was probably their best game all year against the Eagles. They almost won the game. They came all the way back with under a minute left and scored and tied the game and put it into overtime. I mean, and let's put it this way. Philly was in the Super Bowl last year. So it was a tough team. Then they go and lay this goddamn turd at FedEx Field on last Thursday night. Boys, you got to get your shit together. So they know how bad it was. I was reading some of the commentary by Jonathan Allen, one of the older defensive tackles. Not old, but you know, you get to your late 20s, you're old in the NFL. Oh, Christ, if you get to your 30s, you count your freaking blessings. But
it's a funeral party.
Well, after that, you better pray you make it to, you know, where I'm going to be this year, 60. And I'm knocking on wood because I'm hoping to get there. But the reality is it's just not a Ron Rivera. I haven't seen to date any calls for him to be fired. That's all I've seen this week. Is fire the head coach, get rid of him. I love Ron Rivera. I love Ron Rivera, but let's be honest, he hasn't been an incredibly successful head coach. He was, you know, the Carolina Panthers were in the playoffs a few times, not all the time. They weren't a perennial powerhouse, okay? Neither is Washington, neither has Washington been. The only guy with any pedigree that has a playoff pedigree on that staff is Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator who they brought in from the Kansas City Chiefs. Ron Rivera is awful. And if someone else spouts off, if I hear one other commentator say what a genius defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio is, I'm going to slam my head into a fucking wall.
Don't do
that. Okay? That's horse shit. That is just, Jack Del Rio's terrible. He's awful. He continues to be awful. You know, look, Jack, I'm sorry you're not that good. You were a great player for a lot of years. But I'll tell you what, you're not doing your legacy any good by being a shitty DC. Anyway, okay, that's enough on those bastards. I'm finished with them.
Wait a minute. The whole team?
No. I'm just done going over it for now is what I'm saying. I want to move on to a different
subject. You're disappointed. I mean, I...
I'm not just disappointed. I'm disgusted. I don't mind if you have a rough game. Like, I just gave them credit. They lost the game against Philly. They could have won. They should have won. But to come back and play that badly, that poorly at home on national television in front of a really big audience, you know, because now Thursday Night Football is produced by Amazon. You know, the Amazon folks have it on their feed. So it's a big deal. There's all kind of new, you know, people except Al Michaels. Al Michaels is still there. Christ, I think Al Michaels would work for Kit Kat. But anyway, you know, he's been around a long time. I'm just saying, we love you, Al, but maybe you should think about retiring. I guess my point is it's just they didn't look like they were even ready to play football. And I don't know how you can do that. You can't make that kind of money, get together, go through all the things you go through, and just go out there and go and get your ass kicked. So that's what happened. I am excited for the next season of Washington Nationals baseball. There's some exciting things that, you know, were going on towards the end of the season. They did not make the playoffs. No one thought they were going to, but they did win over 70 games, which is very similar to the rebuild they went through a few years back when they started to, you know, they started to get players in terms of the draft. You know, you brought in, you got Harper, you had the Strasburg, and then you had Zimmerman in there, and then you had some spark, and you brought all these older guys, a mix of older and younger guys. You had Parra, you had Howie Kendrick, you brought back Kurt Suzuki. Kurt Suzuki had caught for him before he went off to play for two different teams. They got him back to be the catcher. And that took them all the way to the World Series. Okay, they won the championship. But right now, they're not a champion quality team, but they're going to be really good next year. So my personal advice to your wife is don't fret. They're going to get even better next year.
All right. Well,
you know, they got
pass that one on because she's been a bit despondent, you know. So,
well, it's a rebuild.
Matter of fact, I haven't even heard her mention the.
She's been disgusted. Yeah,
almost a month, you know. So,
yeah.
But that means I thought that might be due to other concerns. You know, she's this is year part of the year when the report that the National Science Foundation gives to Congress is due.
Mm-hmm. Well, soon. I'm not even going to pretend to explain to the whoever might be listening to this what your wife does, because they'll just be confused like I am. It's like when I tell people,
I gotta answer a phone call here. You go ahead and talk.
John is getting ready to answer a phone call, and I've got to go ahead and broadcast some stuff. I just, I don't think we're not going to have a horrible team in the NBA, but we're not going to be, you know, again, we'll be middle to bottom of the pack. Hockey is starting. It's starting actually today is the date that I'm looking at is October 10th right now. I believe they play their first game at Pittsburgh. I think that's when maybe it's Philly. I don't know. Let me see. I got to look. They play Friday. Friday the 13th is the first game for the Washington Capitals. So everybody's pretty excited about the season starting up. I think there's a triple header that starts today, I believe. So there's of course the Las Vegas Golden Knights are the champions from last year, and they have a chance to repeat. There's all kinds of interesting things happening in the NHL. The Caps get a few prospects, I think, that'll probably end up playing. I don't know that they're going to end up. It's like baseball. I don't think they're going to end up playing in the big league right away, but we'll see. That should be interesting. What they do. They've got their mainstays, you know, your Backstroms, your Ovechkins, and you got your Tom Wilson and your TJ Oshie and all these folks ready to come in and start and play. And this is the first time in a couple of years we've had that. So that's exciting. Take a look at that, see what's going on. I don't know that the Commanders are going to be in the bottom. You know, maybe I'm just too angry or not giving them up. Because I'll tell you, everybody thought the Dallas Cowboys were world beaters. I mean, you had every, from the Pat McAfee show to ESPN to the mainstream stuff they were all, and I'm actually Pat McAfee's becoming more and more mainstream. Because he's on every afternoon at noon now, where they used to have SportsCenter. I don't know whose programming genius idea that was. Not that I dislike your show, Pat. You're terrific. I love the show. I think you guys do a great job. I just don't know that it's going to win that market share, but gosh, I hope it does, for everyone's sake. But it's interesting to see. They were all saying, hey, we were all like, hey, man, the Cowboys are just obliterating everybody. And then the Cowboys ended up going to San Francisco and playing the 49ers. And then we saw who was the real, actual dominant football team in the NFL. And that is the San Francisco 49ers. And whatever anybody else tells you, I don't know that they're going to play that way every game, but they sure have. To date, they have just kicked the shit out of everyone. Funny side note, Trent Williams, who's, God, I don't know, 30-some years old, played for Washington for a lot of years until Dan Snyder screwed him over, went to the 49ers, and he's just a perennial powerhouse. He's an all-pro. He's the left tackle. He's the guy that, man, I see this guy block people. He still looks like a young guy. He's kept himself in phenomenal shape. He's just an all-world football player. And I don't give a shit where Brock Purdy was drafted. Brock Purdy, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, can throw the football. And I don't mean he can throw it deep. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about accuracy within himself. He stays within himself. He knows what he's good at, and he exploits what he's good at. But one of the things I don't think even the other folks had any idea – how well he could read defenses. And that's really something that I think that Kyle Shanahan's been looking for a long time. That's why he's excited. That's why they shipped off their number two draft pick from 2 years ago. They got rid of him. They traded him. Their backup quarterback's gone. Persona non grata. So, and honestly, Justin Fields beat the shit out of the Commanders because they didn't know what the hell they were doing. They couldn't get him. They couldn't bring him down. There was little to no defense. I'm back on that again. I gotta beat the shit out of him again. But and they've had enough of that. So hey, I don't know who they play this week, but good luck, Commanders. I hope it gets better for you. The Giants are terrible, and the Cowboys aren't any world beaters like everybody thought. Miami is not phenomenal. Congratulations to the Jets on winning. The New York Jets won a game against the beleaguered Denver Broncos. And that situation was Russell Wilson. I don't know if he's going to get any better anytime soon. Sean Payton's probably in a lot of trouble. They gave him a lot of money. Hey, you there?
Yeah, but I was watching Taylor Swift at the Jets game. Was that wrong?
there's absolutely positively nothing wrong with that. And everyone's trying to figure out if it wasn't considered the Jets game. It was the game that the Jets showed up and got their ass beat by the Kansas City Chiefs, that's who Taylor Swift was there for, was Travis Kelce. Now, whatever's going on there, I really don't care. Because Taylor Swift is bringing in new eyeballs to the NFL. Whether you like that or not, that's the way you can make things happen for your product. Now, what has been frustrating is watching this development. Now, last weekend, we had a football game that was played in, I believe, somewhere in London. Okay. It was the Buffalo Bills against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, a good football team, solid, young, fast, good quarterback, excellent defense. They're not world beaters yet, but they beat the Buffalo Bills. And this is what I am told is the Jacksonville Jaguars flew out to London the previous Sunday after their game the week before.
Right.
The Bills flew out on Friday. Let's see. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You play on Sunday. You feel like you're playing at 9:30 in the fucking morning. To you, to your body clock at that point in time.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars stayed there and had a lot more time to acclimate to the environment. Bills didn't do that. I'm not saying there's something to that. I'm saying there's something to that. You know, it's hard to. I know I flew around the country a lot. Just from East Coast to West Coast. John, you know what that's like, that kind of travel.
Yes,
you know, it kind of tears your, you don't even have, you know, 3 weeks later when you're in four different cities, you got no idea what the fuck time it is. None.
You know, if someone goes back and forth across the country and back and forth again, you know, by the time they get off, you have a potential serial killer on your hands.
What are you trying to say, John? Hold on a second. I got to go load this. I'm kidding. That's terrible. Don't let that on the air. God, that was talk about a Freudian slip. Ugh, that was awful. Yeah, I just, I don't think, Freudian? You never know. Yeah, I don't know if it was Freudian. But you never know who is going to be good 1 week and bad the next. You just don't know. I was shocked at how bad Lamar Jackson for the Baltimore Ravens was this past weekend in the second half. I mean, they couldn't get anything. They lost. They were winning the game. And they lost and basically handed it to the Steelers. The Steelers looked like shit in the first half. Tired. They were terrible. No. They weren't. This isn't the London thing. This isn't the London thing, dude. No. They were here in the United States. The travel was pretty normal. So, no, I was shocked at just how bad Lamar Jackson played. He did not play well. He's better than that. He's better than that. And he just made some piss poor decisions at the quarterback position. He's incredibly talented. He's a perennial MVP. He's a once in a lifetime kind of talent. He's tall. He's strong. He's fast. He throws the ball belt well. He reads defenses. I don't know what happened in that second half.
But what if what if he was like Biden and he had to put his dog down the night before, something like that?
They're missing a few starting offensive linemen, and I think it showed. Yeah, I think it really did show. Yeah, when you think you can get away with plugging a guy in here or there, and sometimes they're just not used to the job and overwhelmed. They can't do the job. You know, the game moves too fast for them. They're not ready. They think they are, as much as you coach them up during the week, as much as they, you know, some of them don't get enough playing time during the week while you're running your drills.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is, man. It's not going to be perfect, but good gracious, man. That was even by Ravens standards, that was bad. That was really bad. And as Lamar got worse during the game, the Pittsburgh quarterback got better. he just kept getting better and better. And, you know, and look, man, that's Mike Tomlin over there. That's one of the best coaches in the NFL.
But this is entirely explained by the balance and the force, correct?
Well, it could be. Yeah, I'm not certain that the force was with him. I don't think it was. I think Lamar was like, where's the force? And it just was like, eh, screw you. So, and the other thing is, and I think it's safe to say this, I think I'm on safe footing because I've heard a lot of NFL analysts say this, but just on my own observation, what I've seen out of the New England Patriots is, Bill Belichick, congratulations. You've had a great career. You're going to get fired. You can't spend that kind of money. I mean, Robert Kraft is a patient man, but he's not going to let you spend that kind of money like you did last year, bring in all those free agents and just put that piece of shit product on the field, you know, 2 years in a row. This is the worst. They lost. They've been beat. I don't think they were beat by as much as they were beat by for 50 years. I mean, they have literally, the New England Patriots have become, they went from, with Tom Brady and all those guys, just a perennial powerhouse team that won six, you know, he won six Super Bowls. Look, they are not very good. They are like probably one of the worst teams in the NFL. In fact, right now, I don't think they're as good as the Commanders.
You know, this is like what happened when the Richard III was overtaken by the Tudors in England. A whole era, you know, went away. It was a tragedy.
But that was death. See, that was war, John. That was life and death. This is not
the War of the Roses. I think it was.
This is John. This is football. This is just football. That's all it is.
Isn't it like virtual warfare on the field?
Of course it is. That's why everybody loves it.
Gladiator.
Yes, it's very much like the modern day Roman. It is the modern day version of gladiators in the Colosseum. There's no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no doubt. Except they don't have knives, and they don't have shields, and they just wear uniforms, and they physically have to beat the shit out of each other. And that's just
and
the way the game is.
Lions jumping out of chariots at you, you know.
Or tigers or bears.
Yeah, right. You know, get a hungry tiger out there, probably have dinner all day.
Oh, stop. What? Art, you just got my arm.
I thought it was a kitty.
That would be. Yeah. Okay, he's getting ready to snap the ball. He's in the shotgun formation, but oh no! The tiger has taken him out! The tiger! Down goes Lamar! Down goes Lamar! That's awful.
That's it. Yeah, right.
All right, guys. We decided to jazz. We're going to jazz the NFL up a little bit. We're going to throw some live, hungry tigers on the field. You guys make sure to avoid them, okay?
You know, I think if it's a 350-pound tiger, probably just a SWAT would, take down most.
Hey, listen. You just said 350 pounds. That's bullshit. That's a small tiger. You want a tiger? You need a 1,200-pounder out there, man. You need a big one. You need a big monster tiger out there. Keep in mind that these NFL players are 350 pounds, man. So,
hey, man, did you see that tiger? It had a saber tooth.
Same thing. I know. I can see it because my hand's hanging off one of his teeth. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, see, entertainment, we're laughing at it. Don't you think thousands of others would do?
Yeah, I don't know. We're some sick bastards. So I don't know, man. I have no idea.
Oh, man, we are teasing out the sickness that's there in all of us. The Bible is very clear on this.
You're one of the guys I've met in my life that has a similar sense of humor. You have a very dark sense of humor, like me. And my younger brother's like that. My older brother was like that, God rest his soul. My brother Tom's a little bit like that. My mom is not like that. So we're all very, we all have a very dark, and I think that was brought to us by my father. So God rest his soul. Thanks, Dad, for the dark sense of humor. I appreciate it. So, but look, man, the eyeballs are out and on the NFL now. There's a kid that was traded. This is funny. You're going to, in a second, there was a kid that was traded from Philadelphia, and then Philadelphia picked him back up, and his last name is Swift. And he wears the number zero. And his jersey sales exploded because all these young ladies are buying these Swift jerseys and wearing them to the Taylor Swift concert. But they're Philadelphia Eagles jerseys, and that happens to be the home of his older brother, who plays center on the offensive line. That is not Travis Kelce's team. That's Jason Kelce.
So which one is Taylor supposedly hanging out with?
Travis, the wide receiver from Kansas City.
Okay, right.
No, the only reason why these kids are buying that shirt, that jersey, is because it says Swift on the back of it.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, that they all want. And look, man, she also gave all of her staff, all of her people, huge bonuses. She also has a register to vote group that travels with her at her concerts in the United States to register young people to vote.
I think she's trying to be a good girl.
She is. She's a good person. Her mother's a good person. Her mother's a very good person. So, you know, they're just decent folk, you know?
I think
they really are.
Well, I mean, she's handled the rise to fame as cool as anybody I've ever seen do it.
It's really a testament to her mental strength. I mean, if you look at the documentary,
yeah,
because there was a year there where she was completely persona non grata. Everybody was trying to beat the shit out of her everywhere you look.
But she stands up
for about a year and a half. She just got nothing but negative press, man.
Yeah.
So we love building them up. The press loves building them. You know how that works. The press loves building you up when you're the new thing. And then all of a sudden they turn on you, everyone, all at the same time.
Man, she turned on some of her adversaries with unbelievable force, actually. I mean, fan base, like, I haven't done in quite a while.
I watched the documentary with my wife in France about Taylor Swift.
And it
really was. It really, I think you, if anybody, would find it quite compelling because it delves into a lot of things. But one of the most interesting things is she writes constantly. She's a writer. She writes poetry. And then she takes that poetry and she turns it into music. And it's fucking amazing. The way she edits her own shit. She'll sit there with the producer and she'll sit there all night long. She won't go. She won't leave. She'll be there, say, you know, the session starts at 10 a.m. She may not be home till, she may not rest until 10 a.m. the next day.
Interesting.
I mean, it's, you know, she gets really caught up in her work and it's fun to watch. She loves the process.
Yeah.
So I found that fascinating. And she likes to do songs. She likes to do songs that have a little bit of meaning and a little bit of twist to them. So, you know, they might be considered bubblegum rock or whatever, but you know, you don't have to be a fan of Taylor Swift's music to be a fan of Taylor Swift. So consider me a Swiftie. So there you go.
All right.
I believe since we've gotten off topic.
I saw her actually. She opened for George Strait.
I know. I heard she was a little country singer back then.
Yeah.
She was a country singer. She just did the country.
All
right, John, we're after 9 o'clock, so we gotta get off here.
I gotta get going because I got another show coming at 10. Yeah, so.
Yes, you do, sir. Yes, sir, you do. I thank you, John, for allowing me to do this one way or another. Guys, everybody have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.